Here's part two. Here's Mark. Mark?
I wanted to, a number of weeks I've been talking about the different ministries that exist, and they do exist. And I had a tendency on the very first one a couple months back to call it Things That Differ. But I was afraid that some of you might think that I took the whole thing off of Stam's books and just basically writing down the notes. And I mean, Stam helped me in my early years, but I've got to learn on my own. So it is Things That Differ. This book is, a completed book, but there are different ministries for different people that are in it. And unless you rightly divide the word of truth, if you don't rightly divide the word of truth, you're never going to see these things. And that's been my goal here, is the fact that we've got to see what applies to us and what doesn't apply to us. Separate those things out for our edification, knowledge, and understanding. And that's what I've been trying to do here for the past number of weeks. So we're going to cover these type things this morning. We'll go over to Matthew chapter 4. And it's not that this will be anything necessarily new right now. But we're going to have a starting point and just make a note. In Matthew chapter 4, Jesus Christ begins His ministry. And He says in Matthew chapter 4, verse 17, "From that time Jesus began to preach and to say, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" So we know something. We know that the kingdom of heaven was right there. It was ready to be offered. You see, folks, there was a promise of a kingdom made back in Exodus that was to come unto Israel. God wanted Israel to be a nation of priests. He wanted them to be a holy nation, a peculiar people, above all the people of the earth. And so that kingdom needed a king. Well, here's the king, Matthew chapter 4. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Turn back to Exodus. I mentioned that. Let's just look at it real quick. Exodus 19. Now, we're going to go through some scripture here and lay out some things so that we can build something for the latter part of the message. Exodus 19. Moses is gone up to the Lord. The Lord speaking to him, and he says this to him in verse 5. Exodus 19, verse 5. "Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine." Watch this. "And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests, a holy nation." These are the words which thou shalt speak to the children of Israel. So there was a promise back there of them being a kingdom of priests. And so the king now has come, therefore repent, for the kingdom is at hand. And so in preaching this, the Lord raised up in His ministry here, He raised up 12 men during this time of the kingdom. And everything He taught, incidentally, everything He taught is pertaining to this kingdom. And this kingdom that we're talking about is going to be on this earth for 1,000 years. It's not far above all heavens, the hope that we have. This is an earthly kingdom that God promised Israel to come. So He raised up 12 men for each tribe of Israel and taught them about this kingdom and taught the things pertaining to this kingdom. And so Peter knows exactly what's going on. Look over in 1 Peter. Turn all the way over to 1 Peter, and we're going to be flipping some pages this morning. 1 Peter chapter 2. This account here, where Peter's writing here, is after the resurrection of the Lord here, where He ascended up. And so Peter's out here, he writes this letter here, and look what he says, 1 Peter chapter 2. Verse 9, "But you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people." Well, folks, that matches back there at Exodus chapter 19. That's what the Lord was calling out of Israel, for them to be that kingdom, that priesthood that He wanted them to be. Folks, we're not the priesthood. You understand? We're not the priesthood. There are things that are particular about the priesthood. There are things that pertain to the priesthood that would rule out most people here. For instance, look in Leviticus chapter 21. Look in Leviticus chapter 21. This is the qualifications physically to be a priest. Leviticus 21, verse 17. Speak unto Aaron, saying, Whosoever he be of thy seed and their generations that have any blemish, let him not approach to offer the bread of his God. For whatsoever man he be that hath a blemish, he shall not approach. A blind man, or a lame, or him that has a flat nose, I guess that's a boxer, huh? Or anything that's superfluous. Or man that is broken-footed, or broken-handed, or crook-back, or a dwarf, or he, or that hath a blemish in his eye, or be scurvy, or a scab, or hath the stones broken. No man that hath a blemish of the seed of Aaron, the priest shall come nigh to his offering unto the Lord. Look over in Leviticus 22. Leviticus 22, look in verse 19. You shall offer, 22:19, you shall offer at your own will a male without blemish of the beeves, of the sheep, or of the goats. But whatsoever that hath a blemish, that shall you offer. So these things had to be precise. Look at this. Verse 21, Whosoever offereth a sacrifice of peace offering unto the Lord to accomplish his vow, free will offering. Look, verse 22, blind, broken, maimed, or having a wind, or scurvy, or scab, you shall not offer these unto the Lord. So you see, folks, in the priesthood, real quick, the point being is that the individual, the priest, had to be of full health, full physical stature, healthy, to offer the sacrifice, and then the sacrifice had to also meet that too. And folks, look, there's something wrong when people say that we are the priesthood of 1 Peter chapter 2. We're not the priesthood. We're the body of Christ. We're members of His body. We have another inheritance from these people, and we don't have to follow these guidelines. I mean, folks, if we had to follow these guidelines, there'd be a lot of us in trouble, right, Mike? I'm in pain. I was in pain. I was laid up for several weeks there. We would not, many of us would not qualify to be a priest. Many of the people that address their congregation saying, and you are a royal priesthood, they're not worthy to be of. And by the way, what sacrifice would you offer? They say, well, we have Jesus Christ. Well, they're going to offer sacrifices. They will offer sacrifices. We're not a priesthood. So in order for these things to be carried out when the Lord taught here for the kingdom and their priesthood, they had those that had physical ailments. Those that had physical ailments. Turn to Mark chapter 16. I mean, we've read where Jesus Christ went through all the city, healing all that came unto Him. Whether it were blind, deaf, dumb, crippled, diseased, He healed them all. Look in Mark chapter 16, verse 15. He said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Watch this. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Now, folks, those signs will follow them that believe. It doesn't say that those signs might follow them. Those signs could follow them. Maybe those signs will be there, but those signs shall follow them that believe. I had an individual, and I've told many of you this before, I was at one of the stores on my route. There's a guy, you know, he's a night clerk working there, and we got to talking about the Bible. And he started telling me how he had the power of the Holy Ghost. I said, really? He said, yeah, and I can, you know, I have that power to do different things, because in Mark it says that these signs shall follow them that believe. And he started telling me these signs. So I said, hang on just a minute. So I went back into his store. It was a Circle K store, so it's small, not like an Albertsons or Winn-Dixie. And I went over there on the aisle that had all the cleaning chemicals. And I grabbed like Drano and some ammonia and some furniture polish. And I grabbed about three or four of those things. And I brought them up there and I sat them on the counter. And he's looking at me like, you know, what's going on here? And I said, do you have a cup? He goes, why? I said, well, I'm going to take these and I'll pay for them. But I'm going to take these and I'm going to mix all these together in this cup, and I want to see you drink it. What do you mean? I said, you said that you have the power to drink any deadly thing and it won't hurt you. And he said, well, I'm not going to tempt God. No, you're not going to go to the hospital is what you're not going to. Yeah. These signs shall follow them that believe. And folks, we hadn't even got to the real kicker yet. Let's keep reading. Verse 19, so then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. There he goes. He's gone. And they, the disciples, they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them. Watch this. Confirming the word with what, folks? Signs. In other words, if you wanted to know if that man was of God and what he was preaching, he had signs to prove it. Therefore, the 12 that were trained about the kingdom went forth after he was received up out of their sight and sat on the right hand of God. They went preaching the word and confirmed it with what? Signs. Let's check that out. Turn to Acts chapter 3. Let's see if this book is true. How about that? Acts chapter 3. Now, in Acts chapter 3, we'll start in verse 1. Now, Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give thee. Give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, I guess he did, huh? All the people ran together unto him in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. Then Peter starts preaching about the heritage of Israel, and it leads right down to the Lord Jesus Christ. But the point being, Peter and John go into the temple. There's a lame man laying at the gate there. He's been lame since he was born. And he asks of alms. In other words, he can't work, he can't do anything. So they take this man, family members I guess, set him at the gate there, and he asks alms for money that he needs to sustain him in life. Peter and John come. He says, you got any silver, any gold, anything you can give me? And Peter said, no, we don't have any of that. He said, look at us. And he said, in the name of Jesus Christ, Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And the Bible says he took him up, lifting him up. And buddy, when he got up, he sprang forth. You can just see something like that taking place. You know, I was watching the program on, I call it God TV. It's one of those religious channels. And I'm watching this fella, and he's from Alexandria. I've never heard of him. I don't recall his name now. but he's from Alexandria, Louisiana, and he was, I can tell when they come on, man, he had his desk there, he was sitting there going, "It's not by mistake that you've tuned into this." "Oh, yes, it is." "It's not by mistake. It is a design of God that you tuned in here, because God is going to work through this ministry. God is going to show you some things. God is going to anoint you by the work of this ministry. And we want to show you the great power that took place in our services with the healing of by the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's go to our service." So he clipped to it, and there's a lady that's already up there. And he goes, "How you feel?" And she goes, "Well, I feel good now. I can walk." I'm thinking, "Well, I didn't see any wheelchair or crutches or anything." So the next lady comes up there. "And did the Lord heal you?" "Yes, He did." "Well, what was your problem?" "When I came to church, I had a great pain in my arm, and now I can move my arm." I'm thinking, I've come to church with the same stuff where, you know my job, guys. I come here and I'm riddled with bursitis, and it's painful to even lift my arm. And I'm thinking, what are we talking about here? These people that had the power to heal would have someone who would come into their church, if they had that power, wheel them down, and with them, that individual who was paralyzed from anywhere 10, 20, 30 years back, he would just lay hands on them and they would spring up and run around the church. We're talking about people who are in their last days in a bed. And the ability to go in there and lay hands and they're fully whole. And they get up and they're healthy. Not people with a pain in the shoulder who walked up there like this and now is walking like this. That's exactly what took place. You say, "You're making fun of them." They make fun of themselves. They don't need me. What's going on, folks? Look, there's a priest here, the high priest Jesus Christ, the King of the Kingdoms there. He raises up these men and He teaches them about the kingdom, all about the kingdom, how to get in, how to live for it, how to live unto it. He gives them the ability to heal people. Why? Because back there in Leviticus, you had to have certain level of health to be a priest. Therefore, that lame man at the gate believed on the Lord by Peter's preaching, and the Lord confirmed the words of the Lord Jesus Christ with the signs of him being healed and jumping up and down. "These signs shall follow them that believe." It's not difficult, folks. That's why you had all the healing going on back here for the priesthood. These people had to have a perfect level of health based upon the law of Moses. And that's why the Lord was healing them. But that's not all. Look over in Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Let's try this one on for size. Let's see if the shoe fits. Chapter 6, verse 19. "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal." That's a kingdom teaching. They weren't to lay up treasure. It goes even further. Talking about no money, go down to verse 25. Let's take it a step further. "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, neither for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment?" They were to take no thought for these things. They're to just go out there and preach. In other words, those that were called by the Lord here, they forsook all. They forsook their jobs, their family, everything, and followed Him having nothing. Take no thought. Don't worry about it. God will provide for it. And giving up all of this Watch what happens to them when this kingdom comes. A verse that is taken totally out of its context. Go to verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. When they get into that kingdom, the treasures that they didn't lay up on earth, that impoverished state that they were in, it's going to all be added unto them. The clothing that they forsook, the food they didn't have, the water and all those things that they forsook in their ministry for the Lord here, when that kingdom comes, it's going to all be added unto them. They're going to get it then. But to go through this ministry, they could not have anything in and of themselves. Look in Matthew chapter 10. In Matthew chapter 10, look in verse 1. There are things that differ in this book, people, and preachers today are not showing it. They're hiding the truth of the Word of God. Matthew 10, verse 1. And when He had called unto Him His 12 disciples, He gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. So He has His 12 disciples there. He names them, and then watch what He tells them. Verse 7. As you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven's at hand. Watch this. Heal the sick. Cleanse the lepers. Raise the dead. Cast out devils. Freely have received. Freely give. Watch this now. Provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purses, nor scrip for your journey. Neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet staves. For the workman is worthy of his meat. In other words, they were to provide no gold, no silver, no brass in their purses. They weren't to take a script, which is like a backpack, a large purse, to put provisions in. You know, extra pair of shoes, some different items that they'd need on a journey, a trip. Don't take that with you. Don't go with the two coats of shoes and all of that stuff. No silver. No gold. Hold that and turn back to Acts chapter 3. Acts 3, verse 3, once again. Who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto him, expecting to receive something. And Peter said, silver and gold have I none. Why didn't Peter have any silver or gold? He was instructed by the Lord back here, provide neither silver nor gold nor brass in your purse. So he carries it out after the resurrection of the Lord over here, not having silver or gold or brass. That is the teaching for the kingdom. That is what you were to do for the kingdom. It's interesting how people have not, and I say people, it's really the preachers, this falls in the preacher's lap here, have not done due diligence with the honesty concerning the Word of God. This book is not out to hurt anybody. But if you don't preach it rightly divided, you hurt everyone that listens to you. You're deceiving everybody that listens to you. So when you have a preacher going back here with the what would Jesus do, and I believe in following the Lord Jesus Christ, trust me, they don't follow the Lord Jesus Christ. They're not following the Lord Jesus Christ. You couldn't, the 12 back here, couldn't take a verse here, a verse there, and then carry it out in their life and say, well, we're following Jesus. It was an entire package ministry that can be found in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And if you want to know all about that kingdom, that's where you go to read about it. And you can't pick and take. It's like a buffet. You know, you're walking in, I want some of that. No, I don't want that. I want some of that. That's how they treat that ministry. The preachers today go through there like a buffet and they pick and choose and leave out what they don't want and take what they want. What's convenient? What tickles the ears of the people sitting in church? You can't do that. These men were charged with, you are charged to go out there and preach and teach all things whatsoever I've commanded you. Not just what feels good or what appeals to the people. All things whatsoever I have commanded you. And that's exactly what they did over here. But you can't go in there and pick and take these different things out. Look at Paul at the end of his ministry. Look in 2 Timothy chapter 4. One of the apostles here. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Let's compare some things that are different. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 20. He says, Erastus abode at Corinth, but Trophimus have I left at Miletum sick. In other words, Trophimus is a fellow minister with Paul, a helper with Paul, and they were traveling through the area, and they were at Miletum, and he couldn't go any further because he was sick. Well, folks, if there was no difference in all of this, these signs shall follow them that believe. Paul could have laid his hands on him and say, now, get up, let's go. Let's go. But he didn't. He left him there sick. Say, well, that was the will of God. You know, in truth, it was. Because what happened is God took these signs which were commissioned to Israel and they rejected this gospel. They rejected this kingdom, rather, by rejecting the king. Then it gets reintroduced by Peter and the apostles, and guess what? They rejected him. So God raises up Paul, and now we're set in a particular time of God's grace. And those signs are not here today. And I'll say it again. Those signs are not here today. The only thing that we have, and it is truly sufficient, is God's finished, completed Word. And you know what? Paul said, by God's Word that's completed, that's fulfilled, that is finished, we can be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. You won't lack anything in the ministry that you would have carrying out the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't need any signs to prove the Word today. You prove it by preaching it rightly divided. And those that want to believe it, cling to it, they will. But man today wants a show. And folks, when you go back here, this is showtime. You hear me? You can get a show from that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you can put the show on. But if you want people that want to know the truth, want to know about the God that saved them, you have to have somebody that rightly divides the Word of truth and then cling to that assembly so you can learn about that God. You can't learn about that God by taking His Word and promises back here that aren't meant for you. You're going to be totally confused. I mean, what if you had two children, same father, two children, and you ask one child, you never met this man, I'm looking for John Doe, and it's their father. So you go, one of the kids said, well, I'm looking for John Doe, could you describe him to me? Well, he's about 5'5", 210 pounds, bald, thick bottle, Coke bottle glasses, and he walks with a limp. Okay. You go down the way, you ask a sister, I'm looking for John Doe. Could you describe him to me? Yeah, he's about 6'5", 190 pounds, fit as a fiddle, got a full beard. Differences in the
folks,
ministry.
The father doesn't match up to the kids, huh?
That's what you have today. You have the kids, the preachers, describing a father that's distorted. It's not the same. And yet they're the ones that say, Jesus the same yesterday, today, and forever. Well, He is the same yesterday, today, and forever, but He changes His ministry in His Word. He changes His ministry in His Word. And the only way you're going to know this Father is by the revelation that was given to the Apostle Paul. And you have to see that revelation. Other than that, you're going to be confused about God. How many people have I talked to throughout my life? I just don't know why God wants this or what God is doing that or why God... Look, they're not being instructed about the God that loved them. That's the problem. Paul left this man sick. That goes totally contrary to what we read in Mark chapter 16, what Peter did in Acts chapter 3. He left this man sick. Not only that, look over in... where do I want to go? 2 Thessalonians. Look in 2 Thessalonians. Look in chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Look in verse 8. We're just going to jump right in here. Neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor and travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you. In other words, they were at Thessalonica. Paul and the men that were with him worked for the food that they got. Not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an example unto you to follow us. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. Now think about that. Those men that follow the Lord, sell all that you have. Provide me the gold, silver, brass. Take no thought for your life. What you're going to wear, what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink. And they got up and they followed the Lord. None of them had a job at that point in time. They followed Him and they lived out a life by faith, and God provided for them. Paul says to the Thessalonians, you see, you had an issue there. You had some folks at Thessalonica at the church that weren't working. So they get there, they come there, and what do? Hey, look, I'm a little low on cash today. Can you help me out? Well, you know, the Christian thing to do is, yeah, I have a couple dollars here. Hey, look, I lost my job, and I'm trying to get another one. Can you help me out? Well, that was kind of taking its toll on this assembly. So Paul says, look, we provided ourselves as an example unto you by when we were with you, we labored night and day. We worked. That way the food we had was based upon the work that we did. And I'm going to tell you this. If a man don't work, he ought not eat. So he took those people that weren't working and said, let their bellies talk to them. Folks, you'll find a job if you start starving. Trust me, that stomach is strong. And so, over here, a man don't work, he ought not eat. Over here, let's go. Don't take any thought on any of the provisions that you need for your daily life. Folks, there are things in this book that are different. And one of the greatest differences is what's called the gospel. What is called the gospel? Jesus Christ preached the gospel of the kingdom. Well, that's the good news of the kingdom. Well, the way to get into that kingdom, you had to follow everything that the Lord taught back here. You had to give up everything. You had to follow Him. You had to repent, confess your sins. Oh, and we didn't even go into this. We don't have time this week. They had to go take this out unto their death. And we'll look into that next week. This was a ministry unto death. Over here, there's a gospel. But it's not the gospel of the kingdom. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news of Jesus Christ. What is that? That Jesus Christ, when He died on the cross, died for our sins. He died for all of our sins. He was buried, but God raised Him up. So Paul says, look, I have this gospel that's given me that's not after Peter. I have a new gospel that was a mystery that was revealed unto me, that Christ's death is for our sins, His burial, and He was raised for our justification. And anybody that puts their trust in Jesus Christ is justified from all things of which the law could not justify you from. We are justified people by faith in Christ. What is that? We who were guilty are set free because the penalty has been paid. That's good news, folks. We put our trust in Christ. And it's a free ride to glory. And we're waiting to get there right now. Y'all ready to go? Well, I think we're all ready. Can't come quick enough. But I wonder about any in here that couldn't say that. Because they never trusted in the Lord. Known about Jesus. Heard about Jesus. Knew He died on the cross. Knew He was buried. Knew He was raised again. But never trusted in that work for their salvation. That's the difference. Come to a point in your life, you know, you talk about life going 90 miles an hour. Well, put the brakes on, throw your life in park right here, right now, come to a dead stop. And if you've never trusted in Christ, trust in Him right now, telling the Lord that you believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins, He was buried and raised again the third day. Don't go by just things that you knew. Trust in Him at this point in time, and you'll have this hope of eternal life with the rest of the saints.